Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, as we think today of our lives and we think of how we're living our lives, we think about our family life, we think about our social lives, we think about our church family life. As we look at the big picture, we must come to this conclusion. I know I do. Lord, I must choose to keep my eyes on you. I must choose to keep my eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. Because I've made that all-important decision, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Folks, this is Don Crisp of the Good News Christian Ministries, and you are presently listening to our program. You can reach us, by the way, at Box 8184, that's Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. And I want to welcome you to Part 3 of this series that I've been sharing with you entitled The Lord's Prayer. And we all know the Lord's Prayer, I'm sure, but this is part three, and we're focusing on the part of the prayer that says, Your Kingdom Come. Or so we can entitle this message, The Kingdom Prayer, if you will, because I think that's so important. Let's begin by just coming at it a little differently than I have in the two previous weeks. You see, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, we realize, or we should realize immediately, that it's divided into two major sections. The first half of the Lord's Prayer is directed to God. The second part of the Lord's Prayer speaks about our needs. Let me say that again. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is directed to God. It speaks of His paternity, His person, His program, His purpose. Yes, His paternity, our Father. Our Father in heaven. It speaks of His person. Holy is His name. We know that our Father is holy. It's not just His name that is holy. He is holy. It speaks of His program. Your kingdom come. It speaks about His kingdom. And it also speaks about His purpose, His plan, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Indeed, as we look at that today, I'm excited about, I believe, what God has for us. But that second part of the prayer also is so important. And as this series continues, we will realize that next week we'll be looking at the part of the prayer that says, Give us today our daily bread. The second part of the prayer deals with His provision for us. Give us today our daily bread. His pardon for us. Forgive us our sins. His protection, therefore, lead us. Not into temptation, His preservation, deliver us from the evil one. I trust that as you mark those titles down, His paternity, His person, His program, His purpose, His provision, His pardon, His protection, His preservation, that we will be able to see that God is sending us a clear message through this prayer. It's not just a prayer to memorize and to pray, to just merely identify us with Jesus. It's a prayer that speaks to us about how to live for Jesus. After you read in Matthew chapter 6 the Lord's Prayer and His thoughts on prayer, a little later on in the passage, Jesus raises the topic about worry. Now, of course, there's nobody listening today that ever worries about anything, right? You know, Jesus said clearly to His disciples after teaching them this prayer, He said, Now, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat or drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you wear. In other words, stop worrying about the stuff. And then in verse 33 of Matthew 6, He says, But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all those other things you're worrying about, they'll be given to you. I'll handle it for you. You know what He's really saying when He says, Don't worry? When He's saying, Don't worry, what He's really saying is, You need to trust me. You need to trust me with your life. You've entrusted me with your soul. Now will you entrust me with your life on a daily basis? Oh, yes. The Bible's very clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, that is saying to me that we need to stop trying to figure things out and second-guessing God and his plan for our life, and we need to say, Lord, I've entrusted you with my heart, with my soul. Now I need to trust you with my day-to-day living. So, Father, would you lead on? Lord Jesus, would you lead on? I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm going to actually trust you that you're in charge of the kingdom. You're the King of Kings, and your kingdom will come when it comes. I don't need to worry about that. Well, I believe he's saying that we must be focused intentionally on him. Oh, that's a big word. That means intentionally focused on him. That means looking to him daily, looking to him day by day, hour by hour, looking to his kingdom. And when we do so, we will be blessed by the one who leads, guides, and provides. His promises kick into gear, and we realize, oh, he is so trustworthy. Do you remember God said to Solomon, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you? Did you notice that Solomon refused to ask for the stuff of the world? He didn't ask for the stuff as perhaps we might ask for the stuff of the world. Oh, no. He didn't ask for a better life. He didn't ask for power and wealth. He didn't ask for things. Do you remember what he asked for? He asked for wisdom, and he asked for discernment. That's what we need to be able to live our life with excellence and not in a spirit of mediocrity. We need wisdom, daily wisdom. Sophia is the word in the Hebrew. We need wisdom from God and discernment. Wisdom to give us the information we know, and discernment to know how to apply it. Oh, yes, and God was pleased with Solomon, and he gave him what he asked for. But he also gave him all the other things as well. Folks, we serve a God who loves us and provides for us according to our needs, not our wants, not our desires. Now, make that difference right there. You know, the stuff that God gave Solomon wasn't his desires or his wants. No, he gave according to his needs. So when we pray to God and we say, I trust you, I just want to focus on you, I want to ask for wisdom from you and discernment from you, we need to understand what we're really saying, and what we're really doing is saying, I trust you with everything else. And God, with his provisionary love, he supplies all our needs. Folks, we serve a God who loves us and provides for us according to our needs. He knows our needs better than we do. Remember, he's the one who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. That's our focus today. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, welcome to this series on the Lord's Prayer. This is part 3, the kingdom part of the prayer. Let me recap what we've learned thus far in our text. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, I've said this week after week, Lord, would you teach us how to pray, even as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray? We know that when people hear us pray the way you teach us to pray, they will know that we are yours, that we are followers of yours. And then Jesus Christ taught them how to pray. He warned them. He said in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, right through to verse 12, to verse 13, he said to them, hey, verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. In verse 7, he said, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. What was he teaching them? Well, I think it's very clear. He's teaching them what not to do. And then he teaches them this. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yes, as I said, let's take a moment and recap what we've learned in our two previous lessons. First, I brought in the whole concept of the Didache. The Didache? Yes, the Didache is the teaching of the 12 apostles, a very old manuscript that really reflects on the activities of the church, the early believers, what they did. And in this case, how did they and what did they do with the Lord's Prayer? Well, let me tell you, the Didache tells us that, and it makes it very clear, that the early church always used the Lord's Prayer in its public worship services. And they did not allow non-believers to join in praying that prayer. The Didache encouraged all believers to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and night. They prayed it at weddings. They prayed it at funerals. They prayed it at baptisms. They prayed it whenever they came together, breaking bread together, worshiping together. It was a prayer of the people, of them coming together and celebrating that they were the people of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I reference was the warnings. We saw that already in my reading, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 7. He said, don't be like the hypocrites, don't be like the pagans. The hypocrites just were using many, many words to show off. And the pagans were using many, many words just babbling, and those words really weren't making any sense whatsoever. And I mentioned that our motivational focus should be to express, not to impress. It's to express our love and our adoration to a loving God. This prayer is an intimate prayer, and we are expressing our love, our devotion, our commitment to the relational God of the Bible. Listen to it. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we say our Father, again, that speaks of his eminence, his closeness to us. Doesn't that make it him just feel closer when you say, Father? Immediately as we say, Father, we sense the closeness of God. And when we say, Father in heaven, that speaks of his transcendence, the fact that he is beyond us. There is a place in heaven that we will spend eternity with him. He's close to us, and yet he's beyond us. This prayer also reminds us that his name is holy. As we quoted from Isaiah chapter 6 before, we hear the seraphim singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We pray the kingdom prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With that can mean only one thing. Lord, may your will be done on earth in me as perfectly as it is done in heaven. Is that what Peter was writing about in 1 Peter chapter 1 when he said to the people of God, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You know what? If we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that's because we've come to Jesus Christ. We've left our sinful ways. We've asked for forgiveness. We've run into his outstretched arms when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we ran into those arms. We received his love. We received his mercy. We received his forgiveness. And we became citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The New Testament references that in different ways. In fact, Jesus uses the terms the kingdom of God 69 times, the kingdom of God in heaven 32 times. You know, Christ used both of these terms interchangeably, but you should make note of the fact that the term kingdom of heaven related more to the Jewish audience. The term kingdom of God related more to the Gentile audience, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The larger issue is this. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again to be a citizen of the King of God. Listen to this. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go out and in and out and find pasture. What's he saying? You want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God and live forever in eternity with God? I'm the door. If anyone enters in through me, he will be saved. You say to yourself, what's he saying? Well, let's listen to what he's saying. John chapter 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You believe in God the Father? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, that's heaven, the kingdom. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. Did you put that together? I'm the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. How do you get to heaven? How do we enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? there's only one door, and there's only one person. I believe that the kingdom of God is a society upon earth where God's will is as perfectly done in them as it is in heaven. Would that describe you as a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, let me just mention an important issue, what I'm calling kingdom submission. As believers and followers of and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be subjects of the King. You know, here's a phrase you've heard many times. Let me say it again. If he isn't Lord of all of your life, then he isn't Lord at all. If he isn't Lord of all, then he isn't Lord at all. You see, as his subjects and as citizens of the kingdom, we need to bow, we need to submit to the one who is Lord of all. He is King of kings and Lord of all. And as citizens, we must be committed and loyal to King Messiah. You know, we must be committed to love him, to honor him, to obey him. To love him means we must love him with a sincere love. That word comes from two words, sincere. It means to to be without wax. In other words, we're not to pretend when it comes to loving our Lord. Do you know how to love the Lord your God? Do you know how to love the Lord your God the way he wants to be loved? Well, let me tell you, that means to honor him, to obey him, to trust him, and to agree with his teachings. This will require, in loving him, a total consistent submission of my life. That means a submission of my heart. It means a submission of my mind. It means a submission of my life. No pretending, focused only on him, and me being a citizen of his kingdom, and me recognizing that he is the King of the kingdom. And as a believer and a follower of that King, the King or the Messiah, Lord Jesus, we understand that he is the one who we bow before. And as a citizen, we are also given the title ambassador of his kingdom. Wow, I am an ambassador while I'm living on planet Earth. What does that mean? It reminds people that my homeland is not here on planet Earth. My home is in another place. It's called heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. An ambassador means that I represent the King of my homeland, the King of the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, as we continue reading, we're told that it's as if God is making his appeal through us when he calls us his ambassadors. Yes, an ambassador must be submissive to the will of the King. Let's speak for a moment about that kingdom will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do we really know about doing God's will? We know what the psalmist said. I delight to do your will, O Lord. Psalm verse 40. Psalm 40 verse 8. Psalm 143 verse 10, he said, teach me to do your will, O Lord. What a great prayer for each of us to pray every day. Lord, I delight to do your will. I love to do your will. I want to do your will. Would you teach me to do your will? O Lord. I've learned the lesson, and God says to us, the only way you can be in my will and do my will and learn my will is to meditate on my word, because it's in my written word that you discover my perfect will. Are you committed to reading God's word? Are you committed to praying through God's word? Are you committed to meditating on God's word? That's where you're going to find the perfect will of God, in the perfect word of God. God's will, not our will. Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, we read, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what's God's will for me? To give thanks, no matter what the circumstances are. To pray without ceasing. I spoke about this in an earlier message. That means to listen to God without ceasing. Always listen for that still small voice. And yes, speak to him as often as we can. Put him as our priority for living. And we need to rejoice evermore. That's a decision that each one of us needs to make. You know, if we trust the Lord, then it means we are rejoicing in the Lord. I love the story of an older woman who trusted him completely and rejoiced in him completely. An older woman came out on her porch every morning. She came out every morning. She would raise her arms in the air, reach out to the sky, and she would shout, praise the Lord. One day an atheist moved next door, and over time he became very irritated with this worshiping woman. So every morning after he heard her cry out, "Praise the Lord," he would yell back, "There is no Lord." Well, this just went on for several months. She cried out, "Praise the Lord," and he would cry out, "There is no Lord." One morning she came out and she shouted, "Praise the Lord, and Lord, please reveal your will to me, because I have no food and I am starving. Please provide for me, O Lord." The next morning, when she came out on her porch, there were two huge bags of groceries sitting there. And she said, "Praise the Lord." She just cried it out with joy. And she said, "He has provided groceries for me. This is so exciting." And just then the atheist jumped out from behind the bushes and he shouted at her. He said, "I told you there is no God. I told you there is no Lord. I'm the one who brought the groceries," without skipping a beat. The lady threw her arms in the air again and she shouted, "Praise the Lord, he's provided for me the groceries that I need, and he even made the double pay for them." I love that. Yes, she knew God's will for her life, to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. She was trusting the Lord. She came to terms with the will of God in her life. As a citizen of the kingdom, she was rejoicing, she was praying, she was thanking God for leading and guiding and providing. Let me speak to you a moment about kingdom attitude. You've heard me say this so often, attitude determines action, and we live with the consequences of the choices we make. It really is your choice. Let me speak to you about the five ways of living as a citizen of the kingdom and praying the kingdom prayer. You see, we can do it different ways. We can live as a citizen religiously. We can live with resignation, we can live with resentment, we can live with resistance, or we can live with a spirit of rejoicing. You know, Jesus was very clear when he spoke to the issue of religiosity, where he's not wanting his kingdom citizens to be religious. He's not wanting us to, just as he said earlier in the prayer, to pray religious prayers where we just fill the room with words or babble like pagans. Oh no. Kingdom citizens must also resist the urge to pray this prayer and to live for him with resignation. "Well, I guess I should do it. You know, I was raised to do it." Or with resentment. "You know, I don't want to live this way, but I suppose I should. God might get mad at me." Or with resistance. You know what? When we came to Christ, we became yoked together with Christ, and we're to move in tandem with Christ. As he moves us forward, he moves with us, and we are to move with him. The five ways of living as a citizen of the kingdom and praying the kingdom prayer means that we do so with a spirit of rejoicing. Just remember that woman on the porch going out every day and saying, "Praise God, thank you, Lord, so much." The kingdom proverb, remember that old Chinese proverb, "Lord, revive your church beginning with me"? Maybe we ought to pray it this way: "Lord, bring in your kingdom beginning in me. Bring in your kingdom beginning through me. And bring in your kingdom with me." Here's my prayer. "Lord, you have already made me a citizen of your kingdom. Lord, may I now live for you in a way that honors you. May I today be a conduit of your love, a vessel of your grace, an instrument of your will, an ambassador of your kingdom. May I stop worrying about my life and live for you and trust you. Oh, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name." My friends, next week we're going to focus on the next part of the prayer. "Lord, give us today our daily bread." Remember that second part of the prayer? We begin to move and to look at his provision, his pardon, his protection, his preservation. And this will be an opportunity for us to focus on the things he wants us to focus on. And now, folks, let me thank you for being prayerfully supportive of this ministry. Oh, yes, the truth is we can't do it without you. If you believe that these messages need to be heard by those who believe and by those who are yet to believe, then I need you to add this ministry to your financial support. Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first, and then stop, think, and pray about it. And if God leads you to support the Good News Christian Ministries, then make out a check to the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Now, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. Oh yes, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. And may God bless you in your journey. Amen. Let's now listen to Tim Hughes singing, "Here I Am to Worship." And may God bless you.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. All days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.